Supporters include Golden Voice, presenting the Avett Brothers, with support from Charles Wesley Godwin. Saturday, April 12th at the Greek Theater. Tickets available at a-x-s.com.
90.7 KPFK, Los Angeles.
From the icy cold curves of Angeles Crest to the sunny shores of PCH, this is The Car Show, broadcasting this week and every week here on KPFK 90.7 FM Los Angeles for over 50 years. I am your humble host, Mark Vaughn of AutoWeek.com. I am joined this week and every week by the greatest co-host in the world, a practicing attorney specializing in automotive law, our Orange County Bureau Chief, a member of the Motor Press Guild, and the owner of not one, but two Mazdas, a Miata and an RX-8. Michelle Spencer. Welcome, Michelle.
Oh, hey, Mark. Great to be here again with you on The Car Show. We got a lot on the calendar.
It is always sunny in Southern California. So
yes,
we are looking forward to it. There's so much to do out there in Southern California with cars, and it happens year-round while the rest of the country is still, you know, they still got the snowblowers going in the driveway and they're cursing the gray, dreary skies. We have lovely weather and everything is beautiful. So let's dive right into some things that you can do. And Michelle, take us out. Take us to Paris.
Oh, yes, of course. We must go to Paris. That is in Riverside County, not in Europe. Paris is got their sprint cars running tonight, April 5th. Guess who's going to be there? Me.
Yay. Paris Auto Speedway, the Pass, yes, as they call it, P-E-R-R-I-S. Is that, what's that near? Hemet?
Well, it would be on the way to Hemet. Yes.
It's, on the way to Hemet. Okay.
Yes.
Inland
it's off the 215.
Off the 215. Good. All right. Right. And what do they have? What do they have running?
Well, tonight they have their USAC CRA sprint cars. So those are the 410 boys.
The big ones.
Yeah, because there's no girls racing this time.
Okay.
They also have the senior sprint class and the young gun sprint class. And then they have their pass cars, what they call their pass car super stocks and American factory stocks. So they'll have all different classes. Mm-hmm. And racing starts at 7. Gates are open at 5. And you just have to get in there and get rolling. It's going to be fantastic weather out there.
Good.
Great night for racing.
Good. Bring a jacket.
Yeah. You know, just in case the wind kicks up, but it should be really nice.
All right.
And then, of course, after the races, you can go down in the pits and talk to your favorite racers, get swag, get hero cards signed, you know, make the rounds.
Okay, good. And then next week out at the pass at the Paris Auto Speedway, what do they got?
They have the LKQ Pick Your Part Night of Destruction.
Yay.
So they have the demo cross. They have their figure eights. They have the trailer figure eights, the mini stocks, and the double deckers with two drivers.
I tell you, man, we gotta get a The Car Show double decker. We got to get, what, two Pintos, bolt one to the top.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so who gets to drive with the steering wheel and who gets the pedals?
I don't care. I'll take
it. All right.
Imagine putting that on, like, you're filling out your life insurance, like, renewal form. Are you involved in any dangerous activities? Well, I do race double deckers at the Paris Auto Speedway. Is that a problem?
On occasion.
All right. No. If that's not crazy enough for you, we have Monster Truck Wars. That is Saturday, April 5th, tonight from 6 to 7:30 p.m. at Industry Hills Expo Center, City of Industry, California. That's right off of the 60 freeway, I believe, on the north side of the 60 freeway. Monster Truck Wars. Now, they ran from 12. They're running right now as we speak from 12 to 3 in their first session. And then there'll be another session from 6 to 7:30 p.m. tonight. So, you know, gather the kids, load up the station wagon, and head out to the Industry Hills Expo Center, City of Industry, California. If you want information on it, monstertrucks.fun. Isn't that cute? Oh. Fun. Monster Trucks, one word, Fun. All right, ooh, back down to the OC.
Yes.
We got another thing.
Ah, yes. And so if you, you know, do like me, stay up till midnight and, you know, go to the races, then the next morning you can get up and go down to Seagram Shelby Event Center at 7 a.m., actually 7:30, for your cars and coffee. They have their once a month, first Sunday of the month, cars and coffee. They will have donuts there. You don't have to pay. And complimentary coffee. This is down here off of Sand Canyon, off the 5 freeway, 7:30 to 9:30 at 1 and 5 Watney. Hillbank Motors is just half a block up the road.
Hillbank Motors is, we talk about them a lot here. It's amazing what they have for sale there. They have Ford GT40s and Shelby Cobras and just all kinds of crazy muscle cars. I drove one of the, what was it? What was the Corvette? They built 5 of them. It was like the Corvette Stingray body, just crazy. And they're all there and you can go and see them. You can talk to Lance Stander, who runs the whole place. One of these events is, the Segerstrom is at 1 Watney, Irvine, California. And I looked on Google Maps. It's not Watney Drive or Street or Avenue. It just said Watney.
Yes.
W-H-A-T-N-E-Y. Type that in and
That's the Irvine way.
That's just the Irvine way because that's prestigious, right?
I suppose. Yes, they were supposed to rename that street when they dedicated the center. The mayor of Irvine, you were there. We were both there.
Yeah.
She said she was going to rededicate the name of the street to be Carroll Shelby Avenue or something.
So a politician said something and didn't follow through? I'm shocked.
Shocked, well, I say.
We'll get to more politicians later in the show in the news section. For now, another first Sunday of the month event is Skydive Paris Car and Airplane Show. And this is, again, Paris, P-E-R-R-I-S, the Paris Airport at 2091 Goetz Road, G-O-E-T-Z Road in Paris, California. There will be awards. There will be a 50-50 drawing. They say on their flyer, 10% off. I don't know what that means because they don't explain it. It's only $10 to get in. Sounds like fun. Everybody who likes cars also likes airplanes, right?
Well,
I do.
Yes.
So I would go see this if it wasn't 100 million miles away in Paris. But, you know, it might be worth it because if you go to this from 1 to 4 p.m., then you just cut over to the Paris Auto Speedway and you see the sprint cars, right? Does this sound like a good idea? No,
well,
that's the dumb idea because it's the night before.
Yes, it's different days.
That's why we have Michelle here paying attention to these things. Okay, so the Paris Auto Speedway is Saturday night, April 5th. The Skydive Paris Car and Airplane Show is Sunday afternoon, 1 to 4 p.m. at the Paris Airport, 2091 Goetz Road, Paris, California. Another airport event. These are fun. I've never been to either one of them, but I would kind of like to go. There's an airport called Cable Airport out in Upland, California. The address for Cable Airport is 1749 West 13th Street in Upland. So it's called Wings and Wheels. That's going to be Sunday, April 6th from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. at Cable Airport. It's another one of those things where you have airplanes lined up on the tarmac and cool cars lined up on the tarmac. Sounds like fun. So 8 to 10 a.m. Sunday, April 6th, Cable Airport. And then let's go out to the following weekend again. Michelle, why don't you take us there? You're our racing expert.
Yes, right. Well, you've probably already seen a lot of promos for the Acura Grand Prix of Long Beach, but it's back. So, yeah, if you haven't been living under a rock, they're in like, what is it? Their 50th year now, I think.
Yeah, it's the 50th anniversary of that. Chris Pook started it all. An English travel agent came over here and gave us this race 50 years ago.
Oh, so there you go. April 11th through 13th. So things get underway on Friday. You can get out there and see qualifying. They're going to have drifting. They're going to have the IMSA cars. They're going to have the Indy cars. So there's something for everybody. I've gone just to watch the drift exposition part of it. I took one of my sorority sisters and she thought it was the coolest thing she'd ever seen. So there you go.
Delta Gamma.
Yes, my DG sister from UCLA. So
Five House.
Oh, well, please, of course.
Acura Grand Prix of Long Beach, April 11th to 13th, celebrating its 50th anniversary. How much does it cost to get in there, Michelle?
Well, different prices for different days. All right. So if you go Friday, it's $54. And that's the night, that night they have the drifts, the drifters. $104 on Sunday. I don't see the price for Saturday.
Yeah. General admission, $104. You can go and check it out. You can check out the prices at GPLB.com. G for Grand, P for P, LB for Long Beach. .com and mm-hmm. get the information.
And cheers to them for 50 years. They're only slightly younger than us on the car show.
And of celebrating 55 years is the Costa Mesa Speedway, pitching it sideways for 50 years, for 55 years. And on April 12th, the Jack Milne Cup. Now, Jack Milne was one of the founders of the Speedway. He was 1937 World Speedway Champion. And he was the founder of the track with a guy named Harry Oxley. They both founded the Costa Mesa Speedway, which is now located at 88 Fair Drive, Costa Mesa, California. Now, these are the motorcycles that they slide out the rear tire and they just go almost sideways around this track. It's that these guys are very good at it and they do it. It seems effortless to do it. I was offered recently an opportunity to go out and try it myself. And I thought, you know, if I was 25, yeah, I would maybe do it, but I'm not going to do this. I don't know. Even though I have that brand new Dionysi race suit with the airbag on the inside, the one piece kangaroo suit that I took out to the other motorcycle racing school. Anyway, this is going to celebrate 55 years of racing at Costa Mesa Speedway on April 12th from the hours. There's going to be the gates open at 6 p.m., live band and happy hour from 6 to 7. First race starts at 7:30. Go to CostaMesaSpeedway.net. It's only $30 to get in. Kids under 10 are free. You have to pay $12 to park at the OC Fair and Events Center. That sounds like a good evening.
Oh, yeah.
Racing.
I've got friends who crew for Eddie. I forgot his last name, but I do have some friends who crew for a racer named Eddie out there.
Yeah. Well, Eddie Lawson, of course, 3-time world champion.
There you go.
Yeah. And a nice guy. I've gotten to talk to him several times. So anyway. All right.
Yeah.
We got a lot still going on. We have 7 more minutes of calendar. So write all this out. I hope everybody's writing all this down.
Right.
California Overland Adventure and Power Sports Show at the Pomona Fairplex takes place April 12th and 13th. Now, Overland West took place at the OC Fair and Event Center, a couple of weeks ago. This is a separate event, but kind of the same idea. It sounds like they have added, they will have more in the way of motorcycles, ATVs, UTVs, a lot of fun sounding things out there. California Overland Adventure and Power Sports Show. It will showcase products and brands in overlanding, RVs, ATVs, motorcycles, autos, e-bikes, camping, hiking, fishing, and much more. Hundreds of vendors, they are promising. Over 400,000 square feet of expo space, food, music, giveaways, and raffles all weekend long. And they put an exclamation mark at the end of that. So I'm already excited.
It looks like a huge event.
It certainly does. And it's more wide ranging, it sounds like, than the Overland West.
Yeah.
So it's got a lot more going on, motorcycles, RVs. Who knows? E-bikes. Everybody wants an e-bike now, right? Even though e-bikes are cheating. Don't you think?
Right. Oh, totally. They're cheating. But what people are doing with them is, you know, you pick those up for the back of your RV and then it's seamless. You can kind of like go wherever you want once you get RV'd up.
Weren't there a couple of municipalities just were either set or were going to set a top speed for e-bikes of 25 miles per hour. Have you heard of that, Michelle?
Hermosa Beach. Thank you very much. Newport Beach. Yes. Check and check.
Well, you should not be going that fast on the Strand anyway.
Absolutely. I wish they would say no e-bikes at all, but, you know, I'm not running the joint.
Okay.
Because I've been down there riding my real bike, my Strand Cruiser, and it's always those darn kids. Those darn kids on their e-bikes. They come by and they're just, you know, they just about run you off.
Reckless disregard for life.
Correct.
That's
so
right.
What do I do to revenge? I ring my bell. You know, ding, ding.
Is that the same bike you had at UCLA?
Before that, since I've been in high school. Yes.
Did you name your bike?
You know, I didn't name my bike.
All right. We'll come up with a name.
No.
For the end of the show.
But they used to have a bike license program for Hermosa Beach, and it still has his little bike license sticker on it.
Oh, that's so cute.
From like 1970-something.
All right. And this next one, Michelle actually wrote in and got us press credentials for this.
Tell
us about this, Michelle.
All right. Yes. Mark and I got press credentials for Air and Water. This is the big Porsche event. And they say this is for all Porsche enthusiasts, whether you're into the racing aspect, whether you're into vintage, which is kind of my jam, or whether you're into the newer Porsches. And it's also whether you like, you know, resto mods, or do you want to see it all tricked out with all kinds of super cool stuff that they don't sell in, you know, in the showrooms or at the dealerships. So this is at the OC Fairgrounds in Costa Mesa. It's going to be on Saturday, all day, April 26th from 9 to 3. They say from vintage legends to modern heroes, experience the legacy, embrace the future, and become part of a community that knows no equal. So we did get our press credentials. The guy said, Michelle, you're in, but don't bring Mark. He's not welcome.
So cruel. PR people can be so cruel.
Yeah.
Air Water is affiliated with or run by the same guys as Luftgekühlt.
Yes,
Luftgekühlt. Except Luftgekühlt, obviously meaning air-cooled. They only allow air-cooled Porsches there. This one, they allow 928s and 944s. And what was after the 44, the 944, the 960? People are screaming into their radios across Southern California. Was it 965? Oh, geez, I'm just going to stop. When you're in a hole, stop digging. So Air and Water, Saturday, April 26th at the OC Fairgrounds in Costa Mesa. Tickets start at $65. And here's an event that is free. If you listened last week, we dedicated the entire hour to talking to the great motorsports journalist, Pete Lyons.
Mm-hmm.
And we heard so many stories from him. He has a new book out about his life, and it's called My Life on Racer Road. Pete is going to be at Autobooks Aerobooks Saturday, April 26th from 11 to 3. So you can go there. You can buy the book. He'll write in, you know, to my good friend, you know, then fill in the blank. Pete will be there signing books for 4 hours at Autobooks Aerobooks on Magnolia in Burbank. Just exit the, that's on Magnolia in Burbank. Just check it out.
Isn't that Ventura Boulevard exit?
Nope.
Further up.
Nope. We did this last week or the week before. Got the address wrong. So, but Pete was there. He was there in what you could consider the golden age of racing. He was, he witnessed Chaparral, Lola, McLaren, and Porsche in the Can-Am. He saw great drivers like Jim Hall, John Surtees, Bruce McLaren, Denny Hulme, Mario Andretti, Mark Donohue, just to name a few. Mm-hmm. There were great Grand Prix entries from Tyrrell, Lotus, McLaren, Ferrari, just from Formula One. He knew, and because he went to every single Grand Prix, he traveled the world, so he knew Jackie Stewart and Emerson Fittipaldi, Niki Lauda, James Hunt, our own Dan Gurney. What a great guy he was. And all of this is in this book that Pete is now selling, in addition to hundreds, if not thousands, of other great books at Auto Books, Aero Books on Magnolia in Burbank. So be there. Plan to be there Saturday, April 26th from 11 to 3.
Yes, and the book is full of not just his stories, but his photos, his personal collection of photos of all the people we just mentioned and more. I just got mine in the mail today. It weighs about 20 pounds.
I got mine about a week or two ago, and I've already read it. It's great. We sound like Pete Lyons slappies, don't we?
Yes, but if it's good, it's good. And
all right, and it is good. So check it out. Another event coming up. Next week, we're going to go more into depth on this, but the La Jolla Concours is coming up April 25th through 27th. I think the actual Concours itself is Sunday the 27th. Is that right, Michelle?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
They have events leading up to it, which we'll get into next week.
But yeah, we're going to go into a deep dive into that next week. We're going to have the co-chair of the event on, and he's going to tell us whatever he wants to tell us. In the meantime, you can go to LaJollaConcours.com. Stick around for next week on that. But we have run out of time, so I can't tell you about the Japanese car cruising at the Peterson Museum Saturday, April 27th from 8 to 11 a.m. We'll talk about that and many other things, including Toyota Fest June 28th at the Marina Green Park in Long Beach. We'll talk about that stuff next week. Now we are into the news section, and boy, when it comes to cars, I don't know if anybody's been paying attention to the news lately, but it's a crazy, wacky world out there, and it's getting wackier every minute. So we could be reading this, and by the time the broadcast is done, something completely, you know, we may have annexed Bermuda or something. I don't know. But as of right now, Michelle is going to give us, to the best of our knowledge, an update on a few things. Tell us, Michelle.
Yeah, we have to talk tariffs, Mark.
Yep.
And do you know how to spell tariff? Because you wrote it wrong here in the script.
One R, two Fs?
Yes. I just noticed that. And this begs the point of, do we even really know what tariffs are?
Actually, I move blocked that from Automotive News, so they misspelled it. It's the first time I've ever not made a mistake. I'm sorry to interrupt. Please go ahead, Michelle.
Yeah, well, like I say, to the point of, do we really know what tariffs even are? I mean, most people don't understand the whole concept. But basically what's happening is that the administration feels that we are the sort of getting beat in the tariff game worldwide with other manufacturers in other countries. And it's not just a few like Mexico or Canada, it's everywhere. So just on April 2nd, on Wednesday of this week, the Trump tariffs that he had been talking about were unveiled. And these were to make equal what tariffs other countries were charging us versus what we are going to charge them now, to sort of make things equal in the trade universe. Now, Automotive News reported that there's an exemption in these new tariffs. And again, it could change. Okay. So mind your news. But there's supposed to be exemptions, according to Automotive News, for vehicles and for certain auto parts from these reciprocal tariffs. And they will not be on top of the 25% auto tariffs that were already announced.
Okay, so the 25% auto tariffs are going through.
Correct.
Okay.
And what we aren't going to see, and what Automotive News was trying to say, is there won't be any additional tariffs on top of the 25%. Now, that is for those vehicles that are quote unquote made in America. And where are cars made in America? Well, that's a difficult question, people, because we all know that these cars are made in America, but their parts come from somewhere else. They might be partially assembled somewhere else in final assembly here, but there's really no such thing anymore as a car that's made in America. So this is going to be really interesting. But let me say what Automotive News mentioned on this. Although Trump made a speech on April 2nd, and he frequently mentioned the auto industry, he said that Toyota, the only manufacturer that ships 1 million vehicles to the United States. Of course, they're always a top seller here. Americans just love Toyotas. General Motors and Ford sell almost none in Japan. He mentioned that. Yes, we know.
That's not because the Japanese, I don't know what trade restrictions the Japanese are placing on American cars, but I don't think the reason that the Japanese market isn't, I think the reason they're not buying American cars has nothing to do with
tariffs. Right. It doesn't have anything to do with taxes or, you know, these tariffs are taxes. So there you go. They won't stack on top of the already announced 25% tariffs on the vehicles imported into the U.S. market. And that is slated to have started on April 3rd. So, you know, our broadcast is April 5th. So this could change at any time. And so that also applies to tariffs on components like engines. And then, of course, don't forget, we have the steel and aluminum tariffs, which are super important to the automotive industry. So if you want to read about that, you have to go to autonews.com. That's our source.
All right. And also autoweek.com. That's should be your source for everything. So we don't know. This stuff could change any minute. I really don't fully understand why these tariffs are being put into place, especially given the global nature of the just of everything, not just the auto industry. You buy stuff from other places where they can make it cheaper and you bring it in here. I understand that the belief is that by charging tariffs, there will be a greater manufacturing industry in the U.S.
Correct.
But I'm not 100% sure exactly how tariffs would help it, especially if a tariff causes a recession, which it hasn't happened yet, but it could.
Well, it did before. Remember in the 20s, it actually contributed to the Great Depression. It wasn't just a recession. So it's historically not a smart move. Now, we have news also that Hyundai, which already was in the works, is going to be making a $20 billion investment to plan a U.S. factory. And they're going to move their factories from Mexico and elsewhere. But they already had this going. They're ahead of the curve. A lot of other manufacturers are not going to be able to pivot like this. It takes years for suppliers to get these things going. And so I'm really not sure how this is common sense.
Well, I'm sure also that Hyundai, as you said, has been working on this $20 billion investment in the United States many, many years ago, well before the election. And but it's being presented as, well, look, Hyundai just agreed to invest $20 billion in the U.S. Well, they didn't just agree. There's a huge lack of understanding of the auto industry and pretty much everything.
Right. But in the meantime, just for our, you know, people in the street like us, buy your car now. Pick if there's something on the lot that you like, go get it. Don't waste your time, because as soon as all this inventory that is sitting on the lots is going to go away. And then after that, the tariffs are going to kick in. So there is a short window of time to get on it.
As we said a couple of shows ago, now is the time to buy a used Tesla. Sure,
you'll
throw water balloons at your car, but you know the deals are great. As we had Carl Brower on here, I believe, talking about them. So
right, so
go buy a used Tesla if you don't care about what people think about
it. And then debadge it and put, like a lot of people I've seen are putting Mazda badges. For some reason, that's the number one they're putting on their Tesla.
That's a good idea.
And then people don't know because people are so dumb.
You could put get a Karma badge and put it on there because no one knows what a Karma looks
exactly.
like.
Exactly.
Or, this is the 2028, you know, Viejo or whatever they're going to call it.
Viejo.
So, yeah. Anyway, we are solving all your problems. Let's get back to some happier news because this is still the news section. We have 11 minutes to go.
Well, we got Bonneville, right?
Bonneville, SCTA BNI's Ellen Wilkinson said that the salt at Bonneville finally received a good rainstorm, and there's currently some water on the salt, that may have dried by, you know, the time you hear this. So this was a few days ago. There are more storms lined up, and we are hoping Mother Nature will cooperate, says SETA BNI's Ellen Wilkinson. So the state of Utah has not allowed any pumping this year at the salt because the aquifer that had been used was too depleted for the drought we have been in. Now, there's a camera on the salt that you can look at, one of those live cams. I believe it's at SCTA-BNI.org. Look around on that and you can find it. Land speed racing is, of course, something endemic to Southern California. It's been going on since, I believe, the 30s. And they would go out to the dry lake beds. And then in 1949, they made the pilgrimage out to Bonneville for the first run at the Bonneville Salt Flats. But if you want to see land speed racing, you can go May 17th to 18th at El Mirage. That is the first event of the season, May 17th to 18th. El Mirage is just about, an hour north of Los Angeles, maybe an hour and a half. And they have an entire calendar for events of land speed racing that includes El Mirage and Bonneville. So go to SCTA-BNI.org and check out that. Back to the world of electric cars, Michelle. What has BYD done?
Okay. BYD doesn't mean buy your own
Dodge. It's build your dream is what they used to stand for.
Build your dream. They're a Chinese EV maker. Have you seen any on the road?
I have.
You have?
They have manufacturer's plates, and they're driven by BYD people. Plus, BYD, I think they make full-size electric buses, and I've ridden on a full-size electric bus made by BYD, and it was silent and quite comfortable.
Okay. Well, you might start seeing more of them. Because one of the barriers to EV adoption is, drumroll, it takes too long to recharge. But BYD is such an innovator that they have now announced full recharging, not just partial, full recharging in as little as 5 minutes. So, you know, this keeps them on par with people who are going to a gas station and spending 5 minutes to actually put gas in a car. Yeah. So
that's interesting that they would say full recharging. Usually they say 10% to 80% in some ridiculously quick time. But I saw a company 2 years ago at the Goodwood Festival of Speed that said the same thing. I can't remember the name of the company, but it exists. The technology exists. The question is whether you can find a car you can attach this cable to that the car won't blow up when you plug it in and try and get it fully recharged in 5 minutes. I think my skepticism suggests that there is more to it than just this experiment by BYD. But, you know, we'll report.
This comes on top of the news that BYD is the only EV car company that has eclipsed Tesla worldwide in sales. So there you go.
Okay. That's sales in China, of course.
Worldwide.
So that's adding to their global.
Correct. Yeah. Tesla sales tumbled by 42% in Europe in January and February of this year, despite overall EV sales in Europe rising by almost 30%, according to Business Insider.
Okay.
So
Do you see Tesla sales coming back ever?
I think that they have got too much competition now.
That and the fact that maybe their guy is nuts.
Oh, and also they don't innovate anything. They've been using the same car designs and the same platforms and everything for 15 years now.
Yeah, there have been refreshes to the Model 3 and the Model S, but they were just refreshes. They weren't what is known in the car industry as, you know, new. So, yeah. BYD has passed them, okay?
Yes, and I think other manufacturers are passing them in terms of looks, obviously, in terms of innovation, in terms of comfort and range. So they have a lot of catching up to do.
Yeah.
Since you asked my 2 cents.
We would gladly drive them, but they eliminated the PR department and their press.
Oh, long ago. Oh, my gosh.
Long ago.
Long ago. And it has
back when I used to drive them, they were good cars. I enjoyed them. It took a little bit of getting used to because everything goes through that main screen there. I think it's 17 or 17 and a half inch diagonal screen. So they were good as of the last time I drove one. You can get them through Turo if you want to check one out.
Yes.
Drive it around for a day. Maybe that's what we ought to do, Michelle.
Right. I know. That's the only way we're going to get one, right? But I could fly to, I could fly down to Austin. My friend in Austin has one.
All right. Yeah. We'll just, the car show has money for that. So we'll fly.
Oh, sure. Okay. Awesome. Great. And I don't need a hotel. I'll just stay with my friend.
Speaking of flying, what's happening in Las Vegas?
Okay. Your favorite destination. Mark
I was
loves
just
Las
there.
Vegas.
OMG.
And his favorite part is leaving Las Vegas. But if you happen to be there and you want something to do, and you're interested in the F1 circuit, guess what? The prices are a lot lower this year than they were the first 2 years. This is the third year, believe it or not, of the Formula One race taking over the downtown strip. So if you want to do a single GA pass, it's only $50 for this year. And that's down from $99 last year and $500 in the first year. GA passes for the entire weekend are $400. They were $1,500. And then also they're adding some new grandstands at turn three. Another thing to keep in mind is that they're streamlining the process of setup and takedown. So it won't be as horrible. And I was there the first year, I think they ran it, for a Keith Urban show. And it was a mess. There was so much disruption and all the shopkeepers and merchants were, PO'd that their whole city was torn up, really.
So you went to Keith Urban, but you didn't go to the FY race? What does that say? You were in the city while the race was going on. Rather than go see the race, you went to Keith Urban. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And if you're an Amex cardholder, it's already on presale. You can get your presale tickets already. So.
Okay. The race itself, of course, takes place on Saturday, November 22nd. So it's way, way off in the future. But
yeah.
Yeah, these new prices, $50 for a single general admission pass, half of what it was in 2023.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And a lot, and so it's 10% of what it was in the first year. To get a GA general admission pass to the race in the first year was $500.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Right?
Who would pay that?
I know, because you have to also, don't forget, you got to pay for your hotel. And you have to get there somehow, either fly in or drive in, and then you got to eat while you're there. So it's just money, money, money.
Yep, yep.
But people seem to love the race.
Money.
Yeah, and November, so plan ahead. Get your hotels now.
Okay, get them now. Yep, you got the news way ahead of time on that one. Tell us, let's go back to... Tesla for just a second.
Oh my goodness.
Two more Tesla items. Michelle, take it away.
All right. Cars and criminals. Sentry mode is something that you can get on your Tesla. And if you set it up, this has cameras all the way around the vehicle, front windshield, two on the side, one above the rear license plate, and several more in the cabin in the B pillars and the front fenders. If the owner has turned this thing on, everything that is going on while you are away from your vehicle is being recorded. So with these criminals who are setting the Teslas on fire and all this other stuff, big mistake, because it's going to all be captured. And so just a word to the wise, they're probably going to start making arrests because the owners just have to basically download the video and send it to the cops. And that's that. And then another Tesla, should we call them Teslas?
Let's do it. We call the Peterson Automotive Museum LPEAT now. So let's call Tesla Tesler. That's awesome.
Teslas. Okay. Well, we got a Tesla diner and drive in coming to Hollywood. Did you know this?
Do we really need that? I have not heard this. Tell me more.
Oh, boy. It's going to be a 24-hour setup where there's a diner, a drive-in theater, two of them actually, two screens, and a charging station being built in Hollywood. In typical Musk fashion, no opening date has been set, but it is being built. It has a two-story restaurant, and I don't know how many number charging stations. It's going to be on Santa Monica Boulevard near La Brea. There was a Shakey's Pizza, and that closed, and so now they are building the cafe and charging station and movie theater.
That is kind of a good idea in that you're sitting there waiting to charge anyway, and you look at people who are doing their charging, they're just looking at their phones. If you had it set up, you'd all be lined up facing a screen. You could watch a movie. But the problem is you plug in for 15 minutes and then you leave. So you don't. Maybe they'll just do a series of Wile E. Coyote type shorts. That might work better.
Or they could do shorts on one screen and then full length on the other or something like that. But
they're full of ideas.
They have a photo. If you go on the interwebs, you can see a photo of that. It's kind of space agey, of course.
Yes.
And kind of looks like, you know, a mini Guggenheim type of deal.
It does. It looks like a couple of film canisters from the old days of film. Maybe that's what it.
Oh, good, Mark.
That could have been what it was.
Good.
I don't know. Okay. It's we have 19 minutes left, and we are going to spend it all in the reviews section. Now, last week, Michelle and I both got to try out a very cool sports car. Michelle, you drove it. Why don't you start off? Well, I'll just introduce it, okay?
Sure.
It's a Lotus Emira 2.0. We both got a chance to drive this car. Now, I drove one last year when it had the Toyota V6 engine in it, and it had an automatic transmission in it. And this time, I got the version of it with the AMG 2-liter turbo four-cylinder driving it, and it was noticeably different. It's a little bit lighter on its feet, but I felt, now again, seat of the pants is probably not a good way to go, but I think I liked the power and torque curves of the V6 more than the turbo four. I don't know, Michelle, you drove the car. What did you think of the Lotus Emira?
Mm-hmm. Do I have to compare everything to the Miata? Yes, I do.
Sure.
Well, okay. So yeah, it was a stick. I liked the transmission. I thought it was nice and smooth. I thought it was fun to drive. It's compact. It's got actually a lot more comfortable seats than I thought it would have. I really thought they were going to be sort of like the Alfa Romeo, you know, super sporty, super... This is a race car seats. And
right.
You stupid Americans, you know, you can't have comfort.
For the record, Alpha has never called us stupid. That was Michelle's editorializing. But
and insulting Americans. So
yes,
it's a lot of fun to drive. It does corner well. I give it that. I thought it was a sort of a bumpy ride with stiff suspension. If I was going to try to loosen it up a little bit, that would be an improvement. Visibility was a little difficult. You really have to use your side mirrors. The rear isn't much. But it does have the cameras, so that's okay. It's definitely a fun sports car. No doubt about it.
It is.
Would I want it to be daily? Not really.
I told you about the first time I drove, what was it, a Lotus Exige?
Oh, yes.
Way back when. And that had, I think at the time, it had the Opel Vauxhall four-cylinder in it. And it was just a revelation. It was like the clouds parted and the beams of sunlight came down, and there it was. And the connection you had with the road was just otherworldly. It transcended all mere automotive transportation. That was 30 years ago. Okay. And that Lotus has not stopped making cars. This particular one, the Emira, traces its lineage directly back to the Evora GT 2+2, which might explain why there was so much room on the inside. There was even a partial shelf behind the two seats. There's not enough room. Now, the Evora GT 2+2 obviously had two quote unquote seats behind there. This one did not have enough room to even fake that, but it did have room. I would guess that it's probably less than a foot wide parcel shelf back there that it just meant not only could you store some stuff back there, but you could recline the seat back farther, which in so many cars, you know, if you think about the Lamborghini, I'm going to say Huracan, but you could also say Huracan. In that one, you slide the seat all the way back and try to get the seat to recline, and you're up against the firewall in the back. This one, the cabin has a lot more room in it. It's a lot elbow room, headroom, like I say, room to recline. It's much, much more comfortable on the inside in that regard. I was not quite as bothered by the lack of visibility out of the cabin. If you look over your shoulder trying to change lanes, yeah, that you are limited a little bit there because of that swoopy B pillars right aft of the front seats. But I did not mind that as much. I will say I took this up on Angeles Crest, drove it around, had a great time in it. It's a fun car, and the interesting thing about it, now you could legitimately compare this to, well, no, I guess you couldn't legitimately compare it to like a Ferrari, but or a Lamborghini. Yeah, those things are what, two and a half times as expensive, at least three times as expensive as this. But it is meant to be a sports car. It is meant to be a great handling sports car. It does have a communicative chassis. It has good to great steering feel. Like we said, it has a modern interior. It's sort of the evolution of Lotus. Lotus keeps getting better all the time, and the best representation of that is in this Lotus Emira that we drove. Now, we had a 2024 model because they don't make a lot of these. You know, it's not like Chevy Chevelles where there's a million of them coming out of the factory a day. So they are still rare things to see. And when people look at it, they assume that it's a Ferrari just because of the proportions and the swoopy lines and the air intake behind the doors. And it does look pretty cool. I did like it. I enjoyed it. Michelle, as a lifetime Mazda sports car enthusiast, how would you say this stacks up against other sports cars you have driven?
I think it keeps good company with everything I've driven, for sure. It's very able to roll with what you want it to do. It's very responsive, and you're able to, the shifting is really nice. I liked it. In fact, I do know this, that way back in the day when Mazda was trying to, you know, re-engineer the Miata, they tore apart a Lotus and checked it out. So it feels very similar to what I drive daily. Yeah.
Yeah. The biggest change I would say is probably that 400 horsepower AMG sourced 4-cylinder 2-liter. I think that, again, in my opinion, the torque peak, the power and torque peaks were a little bit higher up than they were in the supercharged version of the Toyota V6 that I drove a year ago in this. Mm-hmm. So,
That's good. I like that, you know?
Oh, you like, like the Honda S2000 probably too.
I did.
You had to be at 9,000 RPM to leave the parking space. Yeah, that was.
Yeah, I kind of like that. You know, it's whatever, it's different preferences for different people, but I like that. Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah, and Mercedes AMG, they can do no wrong, right?
Of course.
So 400 horsepower from that, 354 pound-feet. Mm-hmm.
And what is the price on this thing? I forgot.
Just over 100,000, so 102,000 something. 0 to 60 times. Let's see. 4.3 seconds. That's pretty good. You could compare this. I think most people, if they were cross shopping, although I think Lotus buyers don't cross shop. I think Lotus buyers are a special breed.
They just want a Lotus. Yeah.
They're not looking at anything else. But, you know, for our purposes here, you could say the 718 Cayman, Porsche Cayman GTS, similar horsepower, mid-engine layout. The Cayman will do 0 to 60 in 3.8 seconds, a little bit quicker there. So, yeah. I mean, nobody cares about miles per gallon. The They're just, they want that feel, and you do get the feel on this. There were a couple of somewhat slightly irritating things about it. It's not as bad. Previous generation low tie, you had to start the car, they give you a physical key that had a couple of buttons on it, and there was a very particular order in which you had to press one button, turn the key, press the other button, start the engine, or the alarm would go off. So they have moved beyond that. So we should be thankful for that. But it seemed that just about everything that you wanted to do or have done in this Lotus, you had to do twice, you know, to get it into gear, to open the door. You pull the door handle, it doesn't open. You have to pull the door handle twice. And I was told, well, the first one unlocks it and the second one, I don't want that kind of thing. It's a little bit wacky, but it's not as bad as they had been in the past. So just keep that in mind. So we liked it. And at $102,000, you know, compared to most other exotics, it represents sort of a good deal from that perspective. Of course, if you're on a budget, you'll buy a used Boxster because those are really cheap, or a used Cayman. Those are not quite as cheap, but still they are good deals. And here's my recommendation. If you want to try out a Lotus Emira, you can go to Vegas Speed. We're back in Las Vegas again here. Just as you drive into, before you get to Las Vegas, on the right-hand side, there's this racetrack, and it's called Vegas Speed, and they have all these exotic cars there. One of the exotics you can drive is a Lotus Emira, and it's only $249 for 5 laps. And that track out there, I was out there driving an Audi RS e-tron GT Performance, which has over 900 horsepower. So it was a different experience. But the track itself, I was really impressed with. I've been lucky enough to drive on most of the great racetracks of the world, from Jerez de la Frontera to Sonoma, Laguna Seca, Willow Springs, that track in Utah that used to have a different name and now has a different one, Road America, just a Waterford Hills. And I, for its purposes here, it's 1.3 miles long. This isn't really an interview or a review of Vegas Speed, but I was really impressed with the track and how much fun it was. There's this 2,000 foot straightaway, and toward the end of the straight, there's the track kind of falls away, so you can't necessarily see the end of the straight from the beginning of it. There's a little kink to the left, and then a sharp right-hand turn. I think there are 12 turns in all at that track, and each one is different. Different radii, radius, plural is radii, I don't know.
Yeah.
And each, you have to set up each corner thinking about how that setup affects the next two, three corners. It's really fun. It really keeps you engaged. It seems to be, it would be hard to get in trouble on this track. There was lots of runoff. So anyway, that's, maybe it's a plug for those guys. I'm not getting any money from them, but I would spend $250 to get 5 laps in a Lotus Emira at Vegas Speed.
Yeah.
They have a website, so check it out. I think it's Vegas Speed.
I've whizzed by that place a lot and wondered what they had there. So thank you, Mark.
Yeah, and for, I think, twice that, you can drive a Ferrari and a Lamborghini or an AMG GT. They have a wide selection of cars. So anyway, speaking of a wide selection of cars, that's what we have here. Michelle, what do you want? Which one of these on our list here do you want to do next?
Well, you mentioned your Audi RS e-tron GT.
Indeed. That was an extraordinary vehicle. Let's see. I'm pulling it up right now.
Drive it?
We drove it, well, at Speed Vegas. So we were in Las Vegas. This was a week ago. Okay. I was in, hang on.
So
I'm talking to Michelle while I pull this up.
It was just at the track, not on the...
No, like, it was on the road,
on
too.
On the strip.
It was on the road, too.
Oh, okay, good. Cool. I've had an e-tron
e-tron is kind of their name for sort of performance-y
SUV
cars.
It's an SUV.
Yeah. And the thing about this is not an SUV. This is the Audi RS e-tron GT Performance.
Okay.
And that is a 912 horsepower dual motor that offers a 0 to 60 time of 2.4 seconds, which is among the best in the world. There are only a small handful of production cars that go that quickly. This thing seats four, might even seat five, if you want to have a short person sit in the middle of the back seat. It has four doors. It's got a hatchback sticking out the back. Technically, what I drove was a mid-cycle facelift, but it felt all new from behind the wheel, particularly in launch mode. It was just extraordinary. I got on there's a bunch of different modes, and you almost have to take a full semester course to understand all the things you can do with this. But you sit there and you hit launch mode. And again, I was back at Speed Vegas. And again, we're not getting any money from Speed Vegas, and we never will, but it was a cool track. And so we stopped at the beginning of the 2,000-foot straightaway, put it in launch mode, you know, 1 foot on the brake pedal, 1 foot on the gas, lift off the brake, and oh, man, I have never in my life, in that situation, I have never lifted off of the accelerator pedal. I lifted off the accelerator pedal on this because it was just, it was just like squishing my whole brain at the back of my head. And I was like, what is going on? It's otherworldly accelerations. And I have driven the Rimac Navara, which we would call Rimac Navara, but it's pronounced Rimac. I've driven that, which is 0 to 60 in under 2 seconds. I've driven the Pininfarina Battista, same thing with them. Last time I drove a Tesla Model S Sport, which is not the Plaid, but it was one step down from that, and that was similar acceleration. I did not lift off there for some reason on this thing. It just seemed so overwhelming that I lifted off. Now, they officially list 0 to 60 in 2.4 seconds, but Audi was telling us that other testers had gotten 2.1 seconds. And wow. That acceleration is, like I say, otherworldly. You are not ready for that. It's up at autoweek.com right now. You can go to the news section and read my full report on that. But it also has, among other talents, and we have only, what, a minute left on this.
Yep.
Among other great things that it can do, it has an active suspension. So as you go into a corner, it leans into the corner like a sport bike or something. As you accelerate, rather than the nose lifting and the back squatting, it does the opposite. The nose goes down. This is because it has an active suspension. It feels really crazy. I would turn that off. I don't know. It'll go 278 miles on a charge, according to the EPA, estimate from the EPA. And prices start at $168,295. That is the 2025 Audi RS e-tron GT Performance. Thank you, Audi, for having the car show and Auto Week out at your track. We are out of time. See, it goes by. It's like a 2.4-second launch. It just flies by. Stick around, everybody, for Rhapsody in Black with Jay Dawson. And we will see you all next week here on The Car Show.
Support for KPFK comes in part from the Lemley Theaters, presenting Far Out, Life on and After the Commune, April 5th through the 7th at 5 of their L.A. theaters. A portion from the ticket sales will help fund KPFK Radio. The documentary's filmmaker, former Commune member Charles Light, KPFK's Harvey Wasserman, a Commune co-founder, and Patty Carpenter, composer and performer, will participate in the Q&As after some of the film's showings. Further information at kpfk.com.
Hi, this is Robbie Krieger from The Doors. KPFK would like to invite you to become a sustainer. I'm a longtime member. What about you? Are you a new listener, or has your membership lapsed for KPFK? For as little as $5 a month, you can become a sustainer. Our goal is to reach 500 friends before the next fund drive starts in mid-April. Please become a sustainer of KPFK. You can do $5 a month, $10 a month, $20, or whatever you're comfortable with. Just call 818-985-5735, option 2, or go online, kpfk.org. Click on donate to make your contribution. If we can reach the goal of 500 sustainers before the next fund drive, we'll be able to cut down the number